This is White Mountain Rescue Without a Trace, Part 5. It's been a couple of weeks since we've played, so let's just kind of recap and take a look at our invest or first responders, as they're called. We are currently in the middle of resolving the fallen photographer. If you will recall, Rex Barnaby was discovered. They found him and was successfully taken back to safety by the medic, Roddy Lops. However, Mike Dallas and Sergeant Hank have decided to stay behind and determine and solve the additional matter at hand, which is the Knot DR. The Sergeant Hank doesn't know anything about that. Sergeant Hank's just going to go meet up with Mike and Dallas. Mike and Dallas, however, have determined that this entity they've been seeing, the Knot Deer, was kind of trapped in our dimension. And well, originally it was just gonna be like, oh, we're gonna like kind of like convince the Knot Deer to just chill out because the theory was that it's been trapped here and it can't necessarily go back. But then, because I think we rolled a complicated, it was more dangerous and complicated or something like that. We've just now fully decided that the door in the cliff face is going to open tonight, and that is a whole can of worms, I believe, is where we left off with that. We just touched the fact that we're gonna experience that. So yeah, that'll be fun. We'll see how this changes. As a reminder, we are currently in layer 4 of the campaign, though we are very quickly about to enter not layer 4, layer 3. No, layer 2. We're in layer 2. What am I talking about? We're in layer 2. I can speak. We're in layer 2 because we had 4 clues. That's why I misspoke. We're in layer 2, but we are one away from becoming entering the third layer. So that will be even more exciting, methinks. God damn it, Wes. Impressive. Astonishing. Iconic. Anyway, let's take a look at our first responders. Roderick is out of this, so he does not have anything to worry about. Mike Hesters has all three conditions. The Knot Deer is watching, the birds, and sprained ankle still. That ankle rolled it in the first time and it's still there. Hank, you've got puzzled and winded. And Dallas has the drone. As a reminder, this is not necessarily a bad condition. It's just as long as you have that condition, you are able to keep benefiting from the drone at certain times. So there is that. Don't forget to mark new end of session questions if you have not done so already. We do have some crowns on the table left over from last time. I know Mike has a few, I believe. And I don't remember who else has any. We did
I
also
think I
we
do.
did
Yeah, I think I do. I think I've got a couple.
Yeah, we also did have the Crown of Black Antlers marked last time, which I do not believe we narrated. I believe it was just marked, but that's okay. Each first responder narrates a flashback to when they were not certain what animal it was they encountered in the wilderness. I think as we're going into this particularly climactic resolution of the fallen photographer, I'd like to see these at the start for whoever is who wants to start kicking us off with any of their crowns. I know we got Mike have some, everyone has one from the Black Antlers, but does anyone else have any other crowns marked last time that they need to narrate?
I've got a bunch. I think I've got two on top of the rescue crown.
Really?
I also have two on top of the rescue.
I just have the rescue one.
Yeah. It does Roderick ha okay, yeah, because you've already done the those other two crowns of the forest you've marked before.
My brain is soup. I think so.
The flashback to time you would rather stay in than go outdoors, and the flashback to how your first career was not wilderness related.
I don't know if I did that second one or not. I can't recall.
I don't
I
recall
didn't.
it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I
did the
trust
first one,
everyone
you didn't do the
else's. There you
second
go,
one.
B. You got something
All
you got
right.
something on top of it.
All right.
Since we have a bunch, then you don't necessarily have to do all of them in one go. You're welcome to do one or two now, and then do more during the out of the woods phase, and more towards the end of the session. Pace it out however you wish. Whoever would like to go first, take the lead.
I've got one that's appropriate, I think. As Sergeant McBride is, he took some flashlights from the volunteer, and he's walking back up to the trail that ascends back up to the ridge. As he's walking, he's thinking about, Mike and this deer and all that, and he's remembering a time where he was out on a call for a black bear was getting into people's garbage, right? Ripping up their garbage cans, stuff like that, on the edge of the forest. So he was going to check out this this black bear sighting, and when he in his broad daylight, when he got there, as it was summer, so there's all these green weeds and trees. He sees what he thinks is the black bear, and he's got maybe some bear repellent or something that he's about to launch, but then the bear kind of like stands on its on kind of on its hind legs, but hunched over, and barrels into the forest, knocking limbs around. But the way that it was loping, it was like brachiating, like a silverback gorilla running into the forest. And so he just kind of cocked his head and said, "That's a weird looking bear."
I think the sort of like idea of like wandering in the woods at night, uncertain about what sort of creatures may be lurking about because the forest doesn't have normal creatures. I think during a late night shift at the sort of the lodge doing paperwork and whatnot, I think like some leftover trash was there, and like my caster was like, okay, I have to clean this up, takes it out. And I think like he felt some dripping down on him. A little bit, not enough to like be worrisome, but it's enough to like notice like the equivalent it's a little bit crass, but like the equivalent of like getting bird shit on your head. And it's like, oh, the God, birds are still above here. And it's like, it's clear, it's liquidy. And I think he looks up above and he sees this very strange looking creature. It is pale. It does not have fur. It is rumbly, craggly, fleshy. I think it tries to reach down with its claw, and I think it Mike Hester's just runs in and back inside, refusing to speak about this event ever again.
Dallas Bartmoss, at the age of 8, was wandering around their family's house. It wasn't a particularly large house. It was a ranch-style house in the middle of America that they inherited from their dead grandmother. Their grandmother had a penchant for topiaries and statues randomly. What they did not know is that she would randomly put them in the woods behind the house as well. So while Dallas was exploring one day, promising not to get too far from the house, kind of got caught up in like finding different leaf patterns. There's something to Dallas about like leaf patterns that really interested them from a young age of like much like, oh, pardon me. Sorry, can we take it back there? Dallas has always been interested in leaf patterns, much like snowflakes. They're all different. None of them are the same. The vein-like growths that are within inside of them move in different ways, much like humans. And that's always been something that Dallas has always noticed and kept an eye on. Dallas found a particularly large spruce tree in the distance that they were walking towards. But as they kept walking, they realized that it was farther and farther away. But it was okay. They had water, they had snacks and everything. They had their backpack with their flashlight. But they tripped and they fell and they rolled down an embankment and hit their head. They came to a couple hours later. Twilight was starting to begin to grow, but this deep part of the forest was dark. They were looking around and they were shocked when they saw a hunched over green person wrapped around a tree, leaves sprouting from the face, hooves on the hands and the feet, and screamed. But then started laughing because they realized it was one of their grandmother's sculptures. They stood up, dusted themselves off, started looking around, and they could hear in the distance their name being called. Their father was calling out for them. And then, as they turned back to look at the sculpture, it wasn't a man anymore. It had this, like, almost like a bird-like kind of look with feathers, but the feathers were leaves. And then it moved away from the tree and darted into the underbrush. And Dallas, being young, just thought, it's my mind playing tricks on me. I saw a sculpture and everything like that. But that's always stuck with them. Some kind of bird leaf creature. It's always interesting what you find out in the woods. Parents just told me that I probably saw, like, just a weird sculpture. It was probably just a weird dog covered in a bunch of leaves and everything like that. But they're just glad that I made it back safe. Can you go ahead and make sure that you remove the uhs and the gaps from that? I want the software to be able to, like, transpose that cleanly. We can just zhuzh it up a little bit.
Phenomenal. All
God
right, B.
damn. Oh my. Well, it's unfair to have to like go after that, but I am. If I'm allowed, I want to
It's
combine
unfair
these
that
two
Dallas Bart
crafts.
Moss is a billionaire, so I mean,
It is
honestly.
deeply unfair, but
That is my privilege. I understand that.
a billionaire with a gift background. So, like, frankly,
It, it, it's it's very brave of you.
I'm gonna combine the crown of the rescue and the flashback about my first career not being wilderness related, because Roddy's first career, his career was the military, but his first job, his first real big kid job, was a lifeguard at a local pool. And this is kind of when he got the bug to help people. And it was pretty slow, usually. It's very slow to be a lifeguard at a local pool until it's not. And a person, it seemed like they were like sunbathing and then just sort of rolled off and fell asleep and fell into the water and didn't immediately come back up. And of course, Roderick, itching to do something and also itching for someone not to die, dove in and grabbed them. And they were near the edge. And as he gets them up and gets them into this proper hold above the water, something in the pool intake moves. It's not the flap. It's not like a leaf. It's a hand. A hand that's the size of an average human hand, and it is reaching up and through the intake, and it reaches out and down and grabs his ankle. And it takes everything in him not to panic and just drop the person. To his credit, he only half drops them. And Ree gets them up there and kicks and isn't trying to logic this out, isn't trying to figure out what this is until he looks down and the hand is gone. And he turns, looks around, there's nothing. And so he gets this person back up to dry land, the concrete, in a suburban area. And as he's making sure they're okay, he glances over at the pool again. He's the only lifeguard on duty. And he sees that hand in the intake again. And it's gone.
Ookie. Very good. Were there any other masks or crowns people want to do, or are we going to leave those off until later?
I'll leave those off to
Sounds
later
good.
because
Sounds
it's
good.
just too nice.
Yeah, love it. Oh yeah, too nice for this moment. Very fair. All right. Sergeant Hank. You're feeling the climb. It's dark. It is hard on your body, to say the least, but eventually you will reascend back up to the top of the summit. By now, twilight has faded into full darkness of night. You can see lights through the trees. You can hear Mike and Dallas. And we see you step through the gloom into this little open space on this rocky summit where we left Mike and Dallas. Role play.
Hey, we got the guy. We've got the
The...
Roddy's taking the photographer back.
Oh,
Good.
that's
Okay, good. Good on Roddy.
Now, come on back this way now. This is the way. We've got some more ATVs down here at the bottom.
Well, Sarge, I was thinking, and me and Mike were thinking actually that like something weird's going on here. And we might be having some more disappearances on our hands if we don't kind of find the source of it and take care of it, you know?
What's going on, Mike?
It's a I'm not sure.
You ever seen a deer before? Imagine it. The deer, antlers, legs and everything stops. Keeps walking, everything like that. Now just take that, and then it's just not that.
Hank like has this flight has these flashlights, and so he's scanning the area, and he's like, I don't where's the deer?
Well, that's the problem is you're looking for a deer. It's not a deer. It's like a deer, but it's not a deer.
Mike.
It's God, I don't know how to describe it. I'd rather not. But frankly, I think it's trying to eat people.
Think of you have like a population, like these woods, and a pest gets introduced. It's not localized, it's an invasive species. The most ethical way to deal with this would probably be, like a gathering it the kind of food sustenance that it likes and leading it back to a place where it belongs and everything. Or you could just shoot the damn thing. But I mean, it's a creature, right? It has a soul. It has a being. It has a thoughts and feelings, much like we do. But I think me and Roddy found a place where it might come from.
Like upstate New York, what are you talking about?
I'd say more New Jersey if you saw the thing that I saw. But, well, no. There was this archway, and it had this green glow about it, carved perfectly into the rock. Roddy touched it, and shocked Roderick. Damn, almost knocked him off the cliff face. It was terrifying. And you can see the look on Dallas's face. Does not look like Dallas was terrified at any point during that moment. I'm just glad that Roderick's okay. But
Roderick, on your
Hi.
return trip back through the woods, I have a question just for you. Is as you are leaving this area of the forest behind, how can you tell that something is deeply, deeply wrong?
I think I'm largely focused on the patient in front of me, but it's after the incident Dallas just described. It's hard to not keep one eye on the forest. And especially when I can still hear this sort of like, it's not tinnitus. I know it's not tinnitus now because it's long enough. I've heard my tinnitus, and this buzzing is different, and it's almost electrical. And I feel like I hear a pop. I think I see a flash, and I look over at the woods for just a second, it looks like there are these green, bright veins, like a lightning strike, just sort of lighting up the woods for just like a split second, and I swear to God it's in my head, but there is still this electrical feedback that feels like a storm is coming.
In that split second where you like look away and that catches your vision, when you turn back, you see, I think your ATV is not at the front of the group, so you can see just kind of like you just see like the other shadows of them and their headlights and taillights, but you see like something dark and large step out onto the road and hear just a quick cut-off scream from the person at the front as he tries to just cry out. The other people scream like, "Watch out! Fuck!" and like swerve. Everyone kind of like ATVs kind of just like rattle and like get turned pretty sharply. I need you to make the dangerous move.
God, I thought I wasn't even like doing stuff. Awesome. I don't think
What
I've
are
ever
you
made the dangerous
what are
move.
you afraid of happening here?
Right now, I think my most immediate fear is that I will either have more patients, like I will have more people in dire straits that I need to take care of, or that, like, yeah, I think it's actually that. I think it's that there's going to be a bunch of people who get severely injured, and I'm the only fucking medic here.
Oh,
So.
it's worse than that.
Yeah, tell me.
I will. It's worse than that. You will also be severely injured because you'll be thrown from the ATV in this crash.
Delightful.
So it's the dangerous move.
So I
I
believe that
think
that's.
I I'm debating. I think this to me sounds like composure, maybe to hold steady on the ATV. So it just kind of like, yeah, I think it's going to be plus composure. I mean, you are in the wilderness, so you do get that plus one bonus from
I was
being a
gonna
woofer.
ask.
Yes.
I was gonna ask. Okay, I roll 2d6, yeah?
Unless you
Gotta
want to
double
mark an
check.
item to get actually, you know what? I'm going to actually say that the buzzing's giving you disadvantage on this because you narrated it, you incorporated it into your narration and it distracted you. Unfortunately, you have disadvantage. So it'll be three when you
It.
take the two lowest, unless you want to mark one of your personal items to get an advantage.
Nah, this is too delightful. I don't wanna do that. 2, 4. No, one. Oh God, it's two and a one. It's a three.
Plus
Wait,
one,
no, plus one,
four,
four.
four. So, Roderick, you are thrown from the ATV as the person driving yours jolts very sharply to the left and it hits like a rock on the escarpment and the whole ATV like flips. You kind of go sailing through the air just just like a wet paper bag. And you land kind of on the edge of this like rocky escarpment And there is a very unhealthy sounding crunch as your spine hits it. And the world goes dark for Roddy Lops.
Yeah. Gonna mark a crown for that so I don't die. Would love that. Would love to mark a crown.
In that case, we still hear the unwholesome crunch as you hit the rocky escarpment. And everything goes black. And then we hear a ringing sound like tinnitus. It slowly gives way to a ambient buzzing as your vision kind of blearily comes back into focus. You see your cross-eyed vision kind of like slowly solidify and merge as the haze fades, and we see the tipped ATV. Thankfully, Rex was not thrown from his secured litter, and the people are actually all, like, it actually wasn't that serious. It hit a rock and it like kind of like tipped and like skidded. It looks like the driver may have like jumped off and just kind of like to like a running stop, as it kind of like didn't go fully tipped over. It just kind of like hit this like rock and just kind of got stuck like that. You can hear the other people looking or like running around, just kind of like checking on everyone. Someone like runs up to you, is like kneeling down in front of you. And we see that like, as you go to feel your back where that awful crunch came from, you turn around and it's your bag, your pack, your first aid kit, and, or just like in your pack in general. And oh, thank God. It was just a water bottle. It was just a water bottle. But you have a, you can take sore back because that landing fucking hurt.
Bruise that shit.
And it just knocked the wind out of you. One of the volunteers is saying, "Everybody okay? Shit." And like one of the guys like kneeling from you says, "Hey, you good?"
Jesus fucking Christ. I'm good. What the hell was that? What happened?
I don't know. Alan just fucking hit something in the road. And you hear like kind of like further up like the trail, someone yelling, "I didn't hit anything. It just flew out of the fucking trees and ran right in front of me." And it's like, "I stopped." And as this bickering is going on, you walk over as you're kind of stirring back to your senses. And there is in the kind of like headlights of the ATV at the front in the dark of the woods, you see thank you Wes for completely understanding that I was just doing Thornton and Mulligan from Alan Wake 2. You see that there's a large animal laying in the trail that seems to have been, well, you would say that it was hit by an ATV, but this thing looks like it was hit by a truck, given how mangled it is. And it's massive. And as you get closer, it's a moose. Is that
normal for where we're at?
There are moose up here. Yeah. It's a very large moose calf. So not like a full grown massive moose, but still moose calves are large. And it looks like it got hit by like a car or a truck, not an ATV. And it's just laying there mangled and dead on the ground. And there's like people shining flashlights down on it. And just like the volunteers are just talking like, it's like, "Yeah, I didn't hit it. It's like it flew out of here. It just fell on the ground like this." Like, and someone's like, "What the shit?" And it's like, is it dead? Kind of like shine their lights. And this one's like, "It looks pretty fucking dead to me, Mike."
Holy shit.
Kind of one of the volunteers shines his light on your face and says, "You ever see anything like this?"
I'm gonna be real, absolutely not. But I think we should probably—
The moose twitches.
Oh shit. Okay. I'm gonna go check and see if it's alive.
Everyone like jumps back, and as you run forward to like check to see if it's alive, it's like there's kind of like this like movement in its like torso. It's just kind of like, you know, just like twitching and shifting, and like this, it's like having like some kind of like spasms or like something. And then you feel something long and thick like move under the skin as you're touching it. And as you kind of like pull your hand back away in disgust, the carcass kind of like bursts open as a number of large black snakes just writhe out of the carcass
What?
and just flee into the underbrush.
Okay, everyone, get back on your ATVs. Go around the fucking moose. Get back up. We're going. We're
I
leaving.
will ask for the risky move just in the sense of a fear response, just because that is
Yes.
something pretty fucking freaky.
Yes.
What are you afraid of happening here if you kind of like lose your nerve in this moment?
I'm afraid that I will miss one of these snakes and that they're venomous, or God forbid that there is something that got that moose out in the woods and I will miss that and it will show the fuck up.
Gotcha. You can just roll flat. The buzzing is faded into the background enough that you have more pressing thoughts. So, yeah.
Right. We got an
Plus
eight.
composure. So,
Oh,
hey.
then a nine.
Yeah,
Okay,
nine.
look at
Okay.
that.
Very good. Very
I'm not
good.
dead.
Your complication on that? I'm going to say that unless you mark a crown, which don't feel inclined to do so because you've already done one, that unfortunately your defibrillator was in also was the source of like the crack. It broke with like you're in your pack when you slammed against the tree, yeah, against the rock, I should
Oh
say. So you'll
no.
lose your defibrillator,
All
unfortunately.
right. I'll take it. I'll take
Okay,
it. I know CPR. We'll
you can just
figure it out.
remove that from your sheet entirely.
Okay. Oh, good. I don't have to mark it. It's just
Yeah,
gone.
just gone. Cutting back to the other trio, though. What are you doing?
I think just very quietly, like, I think we're heading towards that door thing that Dallas saw. Mike Hester really does not want to talk about like what's going on and just deal with it. So it's just like a lot of one word answers back at the crew. Just
Whenever Mike looks over at Hank, Hank's got like a not a squinty-eyed look at Mike, but he's like really looking at Mike, like just trying to look and see if Mike gives anything, and Mike's not.
We've been out here for a couple of hours, a handful of hours, really, there, fellas. If you want to, in my pack, I've got plenty of snacks. I've got some extra water, by the way, if y'all need it. There's also plenty of bananas in there. Need to keep that potassium intake up. Isn't that right, Hank? This guy knows. Yeah, it should just be right up here, though. Just right up there on the cliff face and everything. Strange.
Now, let's
Here.
recap real quick what we know about this situation with the not deer. Because you decided with your clues on that question that the not deer was summoned here, was brought from its reality by another group, which I think I have an idea who those are going to be, considering the white-robed figures that we had earlier before. And that they brought them here, and it's trapped here. And it's less of a malevolent creature than it is one acting out in a feral, kind of hostile way, given the kind of disorienting nature of being forced to be here, and that this carved archway is going to be involved. What? Obviously, you three have no idea that this thing is going to open, but we, the players, know. So I'm looking for an answer from the players about this. What are you hoping this resolution is going to be? Like, what is your expected conclusion of this, of where your characters are going to go and handle this opportunity?
Well, Dallas Bartmoss has a drone on their back, and they want that motherfucker to use night vision mode to just keep focus on that archway. I don't want it to move. I don't want it if it gets distracted or anything, you know, like that. I need that footage. I want that fucking footage. So that's gonna be like a yeah, I can use this guy to see if we can like track any movements or anything like that, but just keep an overview of the area, overwatch of the area, if that's okay with you too.
We hear like a little like staticky. I think we see that there's like a hidden like a earbud in Dallas's ear. That's one of those like really like kind of like, you know, just ones you cannot see. And we hear like a crackle of static as a voice says, "Sir, we're getting very strange readings from your area right now."
Good. I'm gonna need you to take over. Good. 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 Yeah. We can
Scratch.
definitely use this. Just like scratching the ear and just saying, good, good, good. We can definitely use this. As if just absentmindedly talking to themselves, but also just affirming that to the just a good old affirm to the operative in the ear. Okie dokie. I'm just gonna pull the drone off of the backpack and then just let it float up out of my hand and just hear the vroom of it. Is it just a sins? And yeah, I guess I would like to use it hopefully as a way to like maybe, oh, weird noise. What's that over there for this not deer to come check out near this gateway?
Kind of luring things. Gotcha. I like that. Maybe there's like a little speaker on the drone as well that you can like have a soundboard attached to. You can have it make like injured animal noises for predators or something like that. That's disturbing, but yeah, it makes sense. What are you thinking, Chaotic and Daniel, for Mike and Hank?
I think Hank's probably wondering, like, is there like a cave that we're going to try to push an injured invasive species into? Where's the invasive species? Where's the cave? So he's just kind of like looking around, like, what?
He's in the world of mundanity right now.
Mike is convinced that he's cursed to deal with like the supernatural of the woods. And so like he thinks he himself is the bait. So just by being here, he's just yeah, it'll come eventually. I've
And as soon
seen
as you say that, you can just kind of hear echoing through the trees is this.
Oh God. Here it comes, and like I think he's just like get, just pulls up a stance. So he doesn't know what to do because like it's like this was not a well thought out plan. We've got Bart Moss with the drone. Like the drone is like the size of like a large cat, I imagine in my brain. So like it can't like be flung at the creature. Hank, I don't think knows what's
You
going on.
look for the
Mike
cave.
enters
Where's the
Mike
cave?
Mike enters a battle stance as he yells out like it's here, it's coming, and there's just a long silent pause that follows as there's nothing happening.
My God. That is terrible, Alex. I think, like, after a couple of moments, like, Mike exits his battle stance.
Mike feels a hand on his shoulder.
Oh,
Come on, Mike.
God.
Let's go on back. It's getting late.
There's one more thing we can do.
There is.
Yeah. Touches the ear. That's a go for wilderness boys.
Oh.
And I think you see, I'm going to mark one of my state of the art everything as just you quickly, the both of you, just see flashlights turning on in a semicircle around the area and stepping out from behind trees and stuff. You see people, and it's not just boys, it's like men and women and those beyond the binary of wearing tactical gear. Like those the SWAT team helmets that look like the X Games, like skate helmets that have cameras on them. They have night vision goggles that are like flipped up. They have like assault rifles and everything like that. And you're just gonna see Dallas go, "All right, Wilderness boys, we've got an invasive species in the area. This is capture, not kill. I want this thing flushed towards that archway right up there, okay? We got to make sure that whatever this is, it's causing harm to the local population. It is eating local animals. It is attacking people, okay? So it is dangerous, okay? But do not kill, all right?"
Chief Raseki steps up in front of you. Tell us about Chief Raseki.
Chief Raseki is has a laundry list of just operations under his belt. He is if you imagine Stephen Lang from Avatar, he's got the claw marks from that from a cougar attack, and is like deadly serious about wilderness expeditions and everything like that. Has assisted with big game hunting, has done some operations in Eastern European satellite countries, where there have been like extraction and go things. Just a 5'7", just like lean and mean, where you can see there is just like a coiled snake around a bunch of bones neck tattoo that sticks out from up above and just has like this harsh glare.
Yeah, Chief Raseki just says, "All right, you got it, sir. Wilderness boys, cover the area. Operation go." And like locks and loads his assault rifle. I assume you're using the security team option of
Of
it.
yes, yeah, essentially, yeah. So it's going to be security team of state of the art everything. That is the
Yep.
Wilderness Boys, by Chief
Amazing.
Raseki.
Yep.
It's a team of 20 security personnel who are all ex-military or law enforcement, and they are able to do any of the following: so sweep the area, covering fire, and point extraction. So essentially, I'm going to have them doing sweep the area, but instead of hunting down a clue, I think it if you're up to it, start riling up the
Yeah.
not deer a little bit.
I think let's take a 5-minute break, and when we come back, we will experience the thrilling conclusion of this episode. Let's paint the scene, because I think it's an adequately appropriate time for this. I don't know a better way to phrase this, so I'll phrase it in the way that I think the Wilderness Boys would phrase this. How does shit pop off?
I think now just like the forest is just that which was quiet and creepy is now you can just hear rustling in the background and the clanging of gear just even off in the distance, very close. And then you start seeing red lights pop up in the distance as flares are being dropped on the ground. They're being ignited and dropped in the ground and everything as a perimeter is being established.
I think from the sort of tension within the air, like Mike was like uneasy, like very jittery and whatnot. But I think like it turns into less of a fear agitation into sort of a general anger agitation as like the forest itself is seething, writhing. And I think we start to hear gunfire off in the distance as the forest is angry.
There's a green glow that Hank sees like on the back of Mike Hester's head, and he turns and looks to see where the green glow is coming from, and it's coming from the face of the cliff, and there's like a static electricity. The hairs on the back of Hank's neck, they're standing up, and he hears like a almost like a buzzing sound as he takes a couple steps back away from the green glow.
And I think in the underbrush, not from a specific space, but just in general, you hear that weird hiss and growl just occasionally, just enough to keep you on your toes.
We cut away. Oh, sorry, you do
Yeah.
yours before
I
I
was
do
going
yours.
to say, I
Sorry.
was like, Roseki, we also have a member of our team that's out in the woods. If you go ahead and like escort Roderick back to us, please.
Oh, don't worry. This will Roderick's too far gone for now. This will resolve pretty quickly, though.
Okay.
Yeah. You can make sure he's safe, though. Let's cut away for a moment as the camera cuts to a like one of those like little rotating overhead shots over the tree line over top Chief Roseki's head in a troop of the Wilderness Boys moving from top down. It rotates over a bough of a tree, transitions to a still rotating shot, but this one is in the interior of a cave. And we see those white-robed, green-crowned people standing in this cave that has a patina of verdigris and greenish veins kind of running through it. They are all standing in a circle around one another, arms kind of out, faces obscured. There are branches and deer antlers and animal pelts strewn about the place, like offerings or perhaps decorations. And they are chanting as one, as they say, he waits in the woods, he watches in the water, he wills the world to warp, he wills the world to warp, he wills the world to warp. Amdieth Dyla, Amdieth Dyla. And we see that door in the cliff face, that bright green glow just intensifies. And it doesn't necessarily open, but it cracks. A sound like distant thunder, like shale breaking free during a rock slide. It just splits. There is a howling wind. Everyone feels the air change. I think we can hear the Wilderness Boys from different parts in the woods. You hear one say, "We got hostiles engaging, engaging," and then you hear like ba 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 ba. We see a dark shape of something extremely fast moving through the woods, and it is bolting directly for you, Mike. As you hear that just awful animalistic noise, as this shape is darting around. At one point, we see Mike you're shining your a light around, kind of like and then it comes flying out of the trees, trying to knock you over the edge. I need you to make, well, it would be the dangerous move. However, because of the Wilderness Boys, they get to knock this down, and they can knock anything shootable down to risky. I think, what are you afraid of happening here, Mike?
It's pretty obvious. I go over the edge. Like, come
Yeah.
on.
The good news is it's not worse than that. So, I mean, yeah, you can just roll with a vitality. And I'm not going to give you disadvantage from even the not deers watching because, like, we've been new and you were also anticipating
Yeah.
this to happen anyway. So it's not like this is catching you off guard. So you can just roll flat unless you want to add an item to that.
Oh man. I think just generally with like this is going to sound weird, but this is important that I use this now.
Okay.
I think because I've gotten into scraps before and I've been like into a fight with an actual bear before because I think back to how my harder than rock face coffee thermos has saved my life before. I think I am prepared to take on any sort of like physical danger as long as I can get my hands on it. So,
Incredible. I'll take it. Mark it. Roll with advantage, Mike, plus vitality.
yeah, but I had to make use because I did spend a crown to like save that item for, so.
Yeah.
10.
Hell yeah. Narrate what happens, chaotic.
I think this deer comes like crashing through the woods as it's being shot at, and I think it just knocks into me, and like I think a la sort of that deer wrestling scene from that anime. Like I grab it by the horns, and like I think it like I skid backwards, and like I think it's sort of like pushing me towards the portal, and like I think like at the last moment I let go, and I hit the dirt down as it just like sort of tries to buck forward, and it just tumbles in through.
Fucking incredible. Sergeant Hank, I don't want to say this for you, but the impression I'm getting is you're not seeing anything. You're seeing a lot of paperwork. You're seeing the red mist of Umbargo's paperwork, I'd imagine, with all of whatever is happening here. But I want to confer with you of as to what is Hank experiencing? What is Hank seeing?
Like it seems like these private security firm that works with Bark Moth, it seems like they've got some kind of buffalo that has charged through us, and that they've like kind of corralled towards us, and so it's just all kind of like it's like a blur, and it seems like it'd be easier to write this up in a if we just glossed over a lot of it.
I will say this. Given the sheer awesomeness of the Wilderness Boys being involved in this resolution, and already getting a couple of rolls on the table for it being dangerous, I'm now fine to just move into just some pretty easy narrative resolution of this rescue. If everyone wants to take a turn narrating how this is all going to come to a close. I think it's fitting that Chaotic, you get the last word here because Mike is the one who was kind of at the forefront of all of this. And Chaotic, you can have final say because, as a reminder, I guess the intention here is to bargain with the Knot Deer. And I think that by that, it might be getting it to somehow go back where it came from. I don't know. I leave that up to you, Kata. You're going to get the final word here. But if everyone would like to take a turn explaining how this climactic moment resolves, what happens? What happens next?
I think we just see there is Dallas with just like the feed up on their phone, and it's just like hearing all of the chatter in their ear and everything, and Mike can react how Mike wants to react, but like comes up and goes, "Are you okay? How do you feel? Like what's going on? Like talk us through it. Talk us through it." Like acting like a medic, but is not checking for injury at all or anything like that. Like what is going on? Yeah. He look, if you can just give me anything, like what did it look like? What did it feel like?
I will say, by the way, B, just so you know, that since Roderick's not here, feel free to just do literally whatever you want in the narrative.
Too much power.
I think we see Hank like climbing back up the rocks, saying, "It was come on, guys! It was just some kind of buffalo or something. It looked like a buffalo. It's probably down there in the swamp now, that marsh."
Oh my gosh. I think we see two things. I think there is a brief cut, like kind of from above, that little caravan of ATVs that Roderick was a part of. And there's in the far distance, we hear gunfire and shouting from their POV. And everybody, even the volunteers, are like, "Let's get the fuck out of here. I'll deal with this later." And Roderick is like trying to like radio Hank or Mike or Dallas, but like he's just getting weird feedback, just like weird electrical feedback on his radio. There's nothing even going through. And then it goes to the
I
Wilderness
will
Boys in the
incorporate
forest.
one small detail on that
Please
radio is
do.
in the crackling static. We just hear that distorted, like,
And if that he waits in the woods, he watches from the water, he waits in the woods, he watches from the water, he wills the world to warp, he wills the world to warp.
And as we pan to the wilderness boys, all of their radios are doing the same thing, and we're hearing that same chanting over all of their communicators.
I think as Dallas comes up to me, like I think the sort of all the noise from like the radio that's on me that's having this weird feedback, like Dallas trying to make sure like I'm okay, quote unquote. I think like all of that sort of fades as we hear the voice, as we see sort of the not deer disappearing into the portal. I can come back. They keep on calling me back. I think like Mike just thinks that sort of like psychically. What if they call me instead? You don't have to come back. And we just hear a laugh. And I think that's where we're going to end that scene.
Cut to black, roll episode credits. Let's go to the out of the woods phase, everybody. We're gonna take a quick break. Again, we'll take maybe like 15. Thanks to Daniel for doing this last time. I'll just go ahead and link everybody to the out of the woods prompt. We'll do the we'll talk about the immediate aftermath here in a second, but you can go ahead and take a look at these. We will pick. I'm going to give us an unsolved unseen here in a moment. But when we come back from break, we will decide what we're doing here. You can take a look over that. Let me check something. Ba-ba-ba-ba-bo. Let's see. First of all, though, we have to do the rationalization move. We've completed the rescue. Congratulations, everybody. Give yourselves a round of applause. As always, we need to figure out how David Umbargo tries to convince you that the whole thing can easily be explained. This is more necessarily, definitely for Mike, this is less about being convinced, but also maybe about compartmentalizing or maybe keeping quiet. Who the fuck knows what's going on with the Ranger, honestly? You could, yeah. So let's see. As a group, how can this all be explained naturally?
I think Hank really started it off well with the buffalo thing. Like that's really where I think the direction should go, is this sort of like escaped. Maybe the buffalo was from one of like a ranch. Maybe it's wild, but it's definitely not where it's supposed to be, and it's causing all this havoc. You
Swamp
know,
gas too, like.
swamp gas. I don't know if we're far north enough for sort of like the aurora borealis, like interference, like
Electromagnetic storms.
electromagnetics, ball
I mean,
lightning.
ball lightning. I was about to say that, like earlier in the last
Ah!
session, we did say that it's like with the door thing. It was like, oh, maybe you think it's some kind of like geothermal vent with the heat and all that. So it could be
Yes.
it. Like it could have been some kind of like burning swamp gas, like green flame, like burning. You know, like what's that? Stink damp in mines. How it burns green? Yeah.
Keep
going. Yeah, this is great.
Correct me if I'm wrong, people that are more familiar with New England. But this is a thing that we have in the South. But do y'all have those petting zoos that are very much not like regulated and like
Oh,
are
yeah.
not actual? Okay, good.
Thank God.
Because, like, yeah, to add on to that buffalo thing, the ranch thing, what if there is like one of those like petting zoos that is like the White Mountain Petting Zoo and everything like that, that's run by a couple of, you know, New England hillbillies that are, you know, that just it just kind of coincided that they had an animal go get lost, and to just say, yeah, sure, it was a buffalo. It definitely wasn't a buffalo. They had a rabbit go missing, but it was just like, it was like, yeah, we totally lost a buffalo. It's just, thank you. You really.
Yeah, David Umbargo would say if they could lose a rabbit, they could lose a buffalo. I mean, it's loosey-goosey.
Have you seen their fences? I mean, come on.
Barely call it a fence.
Oh. Yeah, those buffalo are very aggressive.
But yeah, it got incited by that swamp gas and everything like that. It got loose, and it got incited by that swamp gas, and then it attacked a photographer. It got a little bit wild and everything like that.
Yeah,
and it got after Mike.
Yeah,
poor Mike.
But Mike, expert ranger.
Yes.
This is a preemptive star I just want to throw out there towards this mechanic. So Daniel, it's like this is basically the X-Files in reverse, where it's like normally we get like Dana Scully is going to tell us how all of this is just some natural phenomenon, like at the start of the episode, and at the end of the episode it ends on like a mysterious like what if kind of cliffhanger. This we just get to have the Dana Scully moment at the very end, which is fucking hilarious and fun.
So good.
Are there any more details we want to throw out there, or I think we have a pretty strong foundation to
yeah,
who wants like, to
I think
go ahead.
I think Mike keeps quiet about a lot of details about, because like, does it really matter if people know? Maybe it should just keep a secret. It's fine.
All right.
It's not Hank, like it's gonna harm people.
Hank, you have the highest reason, so you get to make the rationalization roll. That's go ahead and make the roll. You're muted.
Got a 4 and a 5, so that's a 9, and my reason...
Plus 2?
2. Oh, solid.
On a 10 plus, the fabric of reality strengthens, and the weirdness encounter does not appear in future rescues for the rest of the game. Players may each clear one condition related to the rescue. So the not deer will not return. These cultists, though, I'm keeping them in my back pocket, but the not deer is solidly out of here.
Yeah, and when we encounter the not bear, we wish we had a not deer.
Yeah, right? Damn.
The old days, we just had not deer.
Amazing. Cool. I believe that's all for the end of rescue procedure. I don't think, because we don't have rewards or anything. So I think, yeah, now we just move into Out of the Woods. So I'll go ahead and strike up the unseen we're going to be doing, the unsolved. There was I think in the Discord, I think that someone mentioned that of not calling them unsolved unseens and just calling them the unsolved. I'm not sure if you're going to do that, but I will be currently referring to them as the unsolved.
Yeah, that was from James. It's a pretty good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's see. What do I want to do? There's so many good ones. I should have looked at this earlier. Let's do the empty pickup truck. 21-year-old Travis Burns asked to borrow his dad's truck to drive into Plymouth to pick up some paint at the hardware store. His dad said, sure thing, bring back some milk and bread, and he tossed Travis the keys. A couple hours later, the blue 1981 Chevrolet Scottsdale was found in a ditch of the Springbrook with the keys in and the engine still running, but no sign of Travis. The first prompt is going to be for Wes. Second prompt is going to be for Daniel. Third prompt is going to be for Chaotic. And the last prompt will be for B. Let's take a 15-minute break. Think about what you want to do during this Out of the Woods phase. Think about your prompts, and we'll hear about it when we come back. We're going to the Out of the Woods phase. So before we start doing any narrations of the unsolved, let's talk about people's Out of the Woods plans. Let's go in a character keeper order. Just kind of tell us what your ideas are for your scenes. B, what are you thinking for Roderick?
No idea. I've actually been looking and I have no idea. Possibly an in the field training exercise, or I considered O'Sullivan's, but I also heard Wes's plan, and I don't want to interrupt that because that sounds fucking delightful. So possibly in the field training exercises, we shall see.
Okay. Mike?
I would like a vulnerable move, please.
Yeah, who do we have any volunteers for that?
I'm always here for that.
Yeah, like
Sure.
because like I like I've been hanging out with Dallas and Hank for most of the session so far,
Fair
so
enough. Yeah,
yeah, I
love
can fix
that.
your ankle.
Sergeant Hank, what are you thinking?
I think I am going to go to the shed to get my net sorted out, my gear sorted out with Ernie at the
Sounds
shed.
good. And Dallas.
Dallas feels that the Wilderness Boys have done an excellent job on this operation, and for that, it is an open tab on Dallas Bartmoss at O'Sullivan's Bar and Grill. All 20 of those bad boys. If you hear us a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Oh my God. Good to know.
Yeah.
And where do we think Mike and Roderick will have their vulnerable scene? Was there? Because let's take a look at their stress relievers. So Mike's got drinking black coffee. Roderick's got studying for advanced certification. So are we going to set the scene around maybe Roderick doing some studying while doing the training exercises, and Mike is there as well?
Yeah, like
Love that. Love that. That's a very good. Cool. We will introduce those in a moment, but first, we're going to go into the past and explore the first prompt on the unsolved, which I believe that is assigned to Wes.
While driving to Plymouth, describe what Travis saw unexpectedly in the road that caused him to swerve. Travis,
I will pause real quick. Hey, this is such a great venue to for someone to do an echo. Because I know that B is not used to these. This is a fantastic example to show off how echoes work.
While driving to Plymouth, Travis is listening to music, 21 years old, summer of 85. It's fantastic. Windows rolled down. It's night. Headlights piercing. He went ahead and made a stop at Quickie Bucks, which Quickie Bucks is a regional fast food fried chicken chain in the area. While he was going to dig for a leg out of the bucket, enjoying his time driving his dad's truck, it drops in the floor. He says, "Oh, shit." Reaches down, trying to keep an eye on the road, trying to grab it, knocks it around, and just goes, "Ah," and then looks down for 1 second, grabs it, chicken leg in hand. His dad keeps his truck immaculately clean. So he's like, "Yeah, it's all good." Comes up to take a bite of the leg, and then all of a sudden sees what looks like a caterpillar almost, but it has like these fins on the sides and it arches its back into a U. And he's like, "Is that a fucking caterpillar?" And then he realizes, "Oh no, that's way too big to be a caterpillar. It's not mo-" And then swerves rapidly out of the road, and you just hear and then crash.
I'm muted.
Yes,
Yeah.
okay.
Let's set the scene with Mike and Roderick in the field training exercises. Search and rescue team members also spend some time training both local law enforcement and first responders, as well as the public in wilderness safety and search and rescue procedures. Let's paint the scene. I am so tempted to choose this one, but I'm not going to choose it yet because I want Roderick to be able to still study in the scene. I
It's
want to choose
okay
the.
if he can't. That's very funny because, like, he's only got one condition. And so, if Mike's the only one who can do his stress reliever, that's fine.
True. Then I'm going to, yes, it is career day for the Plymouth Elementary School's kindergarten. What search and rescue materials did you bring to show and discuss with the room full of 5-year-olds?
I'm sorry. I think Mike Hester's has been brought along as sort of an example of what to do in certain situations of like, if your friend is injured, this is how you take care of them and make sure that they are all right.
Oh my god. Like, he's the example and also someone who's like an experienced ranger, so because I think like Roderick would not be comfortable fielding some of the questions because it's not as experienced. Mm-hmm. He would bring like a first aid kit and like show like these kids like, here's how we do first aid and help people out because he knows kids like that. But he also doesn't know any of the like, if they ask like wilderness questions, he will just look to Mike and yeah. like expect you to answer it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I feel like every so often, like kids will ask, like, "Are bears that big?" And I'm like, "Yes, they are very big. They can reach. Some can be as tall as a pickup truck, like one of those." Yes, like the one that your dad has. That's that blue one. Don't worry, there, kids. So as long as you keep your trash in locked bins, the bears will not come into town. Don't worry about that.
I'm going to say, for the sake of efficiency and narrative efficiency, that for the unsolved scenes here. Unsolved these out of the wood scenes. The paint the scenes are mostly for the people in the scene themselves, just so we can keep everything mm-hmm. flowing. So I love that. We'll go over it. We'll transfer over to Sergeant McBride at the shed. Let me find the shed. Yes, all the search and rescue gear is kept in a long garage-like building next to the motor pool at White Mountain National Forest headquarters. All team members have keys and access to this gear, as well as to Ernie gearing. Once we're out of the woods phase, team members can either describe how they are maintaining their gear and unmark a personal item, or choose one of the following to place in their personal items and mark it off from the list below. There's a big old list of items. Additionally, the first responders may requisition special equipment from Ernie 3 times during the course of a campaign to add to one player's personal items. Before we hear from what you're doing here, Hank, let us... First of all, let's talk about Ernie himself. Mid-60s, slightly overweight, slightly balding, but 100% taking it easy. Typically wears a red plaid shirt and green fleece vest. Is almost always found sitting down at his desk, scrolling on a computer. Let's paint the scene. The equipment building is affectionately just called The Shed. What are some ways the building has earned this moniker?
I'm going to say up in the rafters are... clearly some bird nest and some bird droppings. And every once in a while, you might see a bird fly around up there. But yeah, how they got in, I don't really know.
Amazing. What are you doing here? What is your intention with this, with the shed, Hank?
So we see Hank come in, and he's at Ernie's. He's sitting there with Ernie. Right? So Ernie's sitting down and he's talking to Ernie. I'm trying to get Ernie's attention. Ernie, hey, you know, we went up to King's Ravine. Do you know there's a buffalo up there at night pushing people off the cliff?
Buffalo at King's Ravine? No. Can't
be. The buffalo. And have you ever heard of that? Would this have happened? Like, back when like Henderson was in charge? No.
Yeah, no. Buffalo. No. Can't say that I saw any buffalo. He's like just like scrolling through something like, just can't say I saw any buffalo when Henderson was in charge. But hey, you want to see something weird the foresters found last week over near Mount Washington? And like rolls his chair across the room to like to the other side to just go through some boxes and stuff. And
what did they find? We see Hank like unpacking this net that we saw him throw to Mike when he was swept away in the water.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, what they find? What they find in Mount Washington? I am all ears.
We'll cut away to setting up Dallas here at O'Sullivan's Bar and Grill. Let's paint the scene. Especially because you have a whole big party here tonight. It's one of those nights where bar regulars bring their drama into O'Sullivan's, and this sounds pretty incendiary when combined with a paramilitary force of 20 people getting drunk. What drama is it tonight, and how does it spill over into your space?
So this is a place where law enforcement hang out. Not a lot of like locals come here. And you see two state troopers. They're by the names of Christoph and Lonnie. Christoph and Lonnie, who they just got off their shift and everything, and they're meeting up. And they do this game where it's quarters, essentially, but they use a ping pong ball. There's not a ping pong table, but there's a bunch of ping pong balls here in O'Sullivan's. And they have their big pints, and everybody hates this game because they always argue with each other. They always argue with each other about like what they're doing, and they always just get in each other's faces, and they start throwing wild stuff at each other that has nothing to do with the game or what's happening at this moment, because they are brothers. Christoph and Lonnie are brothers, and they're and they just bring up age old stuff. And you can see that some of the other wilderness boys are starting to take notice of that. And so some of them have started gathering around this game and are egging them on, almost like it's like a UFC fight or something. But it's just this, it's this game of ping pong ball, like put the ping pong, bounce it into the other person's cup. And they're like, there's smack talk happening and everything. And it is just turning this place into a pressure cooker.
Incredible. Let's go back to the unsolved. Next prompt.
Okay. Looks like it is this blue truck. It went through a fence before it crashed into the bank of the Springbrook. What song was playing on the radio as Travis turned to look back at the road? We don't even realize there's music playing until because it was just a crash in the sounds of associated with the crash, but then we hear faintly Bob Marley's Buffalo Soldier playing on the radio.
Let's continue the vulnerable scene between Mike and Roderick. Truly, I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this for what it is. I believe, I'm just double checking this real quick, with the vulnerable move. Yeah, I mean, I assume unless Roderick brought some books with him, then it's going to be Mike drinking coffee.
Yeah, I think like during like a sort of a low point of like, because I imagine it's not just the two of us, but like a few other like part of our co-workers and whatnot, I think we pull aside, like, because like my leg is still kind of bothering me, and like I'm just like, I'm drinking coffee because like it makes me happy, and it just generally it'll take my mind off of things, and hopefully God it will get better soon. But God, we have just been brushing it into like the woods of like lately.
It's been a lot. Yeah, I feel like if this is happening in like a gym Like with the kind where you like pull out the like it's like the they've gathered every kindergarten class into the gym that has like the pull out stadium benches, and so Mike and I are like off to the side, or if it's in a classroom, we've gone out to the side or in the hallway, and we're not like directly in front of the kindergartners. And so Roderick is finally like not like gotta kids, but like, man, you okay? I've been seeing you limping a lot. You, I mean, not to be invasive or anything. It just seems, it's kind of.
That, like every so often you pick up some sort of random injury or whatever, and like you only have so many days that you can take off, and like embargo is like on my ass about that. So.
Fucking embargo. Of course he is. Thinks it's cool to have people injured out in the field. You can't, I mean, shit, man, you can't be doing your job if you're hurt. That's like, I see you running around, like you can't be doing that. Is there anything I can do to help or anything? Like, I don't know.
Like, as long as like we don't have like any major things, like as of last time, like people going missing or Buffalo.
Yeah, that sure was some buffalo. That was
Buffalo.
buffalo. Those wily motherfuckers. Yeah, hopefully we kind of guess. I mean, we all saw some shit. I think you need some downtime. You've had a time, man. I think like I know you can't take like a big vacation, but can you take like a half day?
What am I gonna do with a half day besides like stay at home?
I don't know.
What?
Like, meditate, chill out, not have to like go running through the frickin' woods.
I don't. Yeah, like I have no, I don't really have, like, that's it's kind of boring, really. Like, I'm like stuck at home by myself. What am I going to do? Just sleep the day away?
I mean, you could. There's nothing wrong with that. I not that I think you could probably sleep. You drink way too much freaking coffee. But, I'm just saying, man, you deserve a little break. I mean, like, what happened back there when I was gone? I heard like gunfire and shit.
Well, and I think I'd look around, just making sure that there's no children within earshot. Well, you didn't hear this from me. Dallas has a military team.
A what? Like their own?
Yes, like big guns, like. Like, you know how I was concerned about like all the volunteers having their guns? It makes those
Yeah.
look like pea shooters.
Respectfully, what the fuck were they doing out there?
Don't know.
I already had
Dallas.
the guy. Like, we already had the guy.
Like, Dallas was pretty concerned about the creature.
I mean, shit. I get. Did you guys shoot it? Or.
They tried to, but it did run off back to where it came from.
Interesting. I mean, it seems a bit of an overreaction, but that's
Do you
kind of
know?
fucked up. That's kind of fucked up.
Yeah. Seems the stylist has more plans for our little group than he's letting on. They're letting on.
I mean, maybe they're just like sort of, I know they're like some rich CEO. Maybe they're just like overzealous with all their toys, and I guess they're paramilitary groups.
Speaking of the devil, let's cut over to Dallas for a moment. Tell us what's happening now in your scene.
I think things are kind of still staying at their are they're plateauing. And Dallas goes up to the bar and goes, barkeep, can I
Yeah.
get 21 green tea shots, please?
Oh, sure thing. Yeah, just give, yeah, yep, you got it. 21 green tea shots coming up. All right.
And here's somebody, as you can hear Buffalo Soldier singing along to it next to Dallas, is like, looks over at them and goes, you know, it's not great for you to kind of like sing along songs that are like not of your culture and everything like that. Like, I don't think you're a Rastafarian. Just a note. And just like turns and like has their drink and goes, Raseki, more pool, and just goes, to themselves, and then they feel a hand on their shoulder whip them around, and you see the person they said it to was one of the local sheriff's department, and just says, Bart Moss, right? Dallas goes, yep, that's me. And then a fist just flies at Dallas's face, knocking them, wheeling them into the pong game that's happening. Both of the beers spill over, and the brothers go, you, at each other, and they dive at each other and start fighting each other, knocking into one of the wilderness boys. The wilderness boys grabs one of them and headbutts them. The brother says, don't you touch my brother like that, and smashes the other one with one of the beer pints. And it just turns into a brawl.
I want to throw in the idea of Chief Raseki walking up, grabbing the one that punched you, Dallas, just by the lapel, just being like, you picked the wrong day to be stupid, son. And then just throws like a haymaker at his face.
And then goes into the jukebox that was playing Buffalo Soldier, and then it just like shifts, and then Ballroom Blitz starts playing.
That's a Mountain Clue. It wasn't even on the jukebox. No, I'm kidding. let's go over to Hank. Tell us what happened. What's the weird thing that that he's showing you?
He pulls out like this this photograph. And I can't see, like, what? So Hank's like, what are you showing me? So like, right here, look. Right here, you can kind of see it. And I see a bunch of trees. And he's like, no, it's like the, look, it's the Mount Washington gorilla. I don't see a gorilla in there. Oh, yeah. Who told you this? Who gave this to you? There's a lot weirder things out here than strange trees. I'm not. Do you know anything about Dallas Bartmoss and his? Do you know what this? Does he come down here for gear? I guess he's got his own, right? Like we see Hank look around at the gear that's in here, like wooden snowshoes and old like. But no, I guess we don't. But anyways, the other night with that. With that buffalo, Bart Moss had like these, like Navy SEALs or something up in the woods following us the whole time. That's not. I don't know if embargo. Have you heard anything about it? I haven't heard anything from embargo about it. It's just a bit. It's a bit much. And how about Mike? Has Mike come in here, Ernie? Have you seen Mike Hester?
Not lately, no. Mike's got that faraway look in his eyes, if you know what I
no,
mean.
No. It's a lot worse than that now. Now oh. He's got the faraway look in his eyes, and then there's something on the edge. Like he's something
oh,
like.
Oh, if he's got the faraway and he's getting towards that edge, you know what they say that's a case of?
No.
Oh, I thought. Hank! I thought we had a rapport. He kind of like goes back to
you know.
He says,
I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm definitely
it's a case of suppressed early onset retirement.
Yeah, You know, I hinted around to him about it. It was Sullivan's.
Not everyone makes it to your state, Hank. A lot of folks tend to tap out of the job before they get to retirement, like an actual, like, I guess, a socially acceptable age. Some people just snap under the pressures of the gig.
Well, look, you retired and you came back. That's not the way you retire. When I'm out, I'm out.
I know, Pensacola, you keep saying. You know,
Pensacola. That's right, Ernie.
You can stop sending me, you know, you send postcards from the place.
I'm easing folks into it. But look, when you retire, you're supposed to go away. You're not supposed to come back and sit here and.
Well, what can I say?
Scroll on the internet all day. I got to get this net packed.
Okay, well, what can I say, Hank? I just, you know, someone's got to take care of the shed, and I like it here. Anywho, I got to get back to this thing on eBay. and let's go to the next scene on the Unsolved.
Describe the key and keychain ornament that was still in the blue Chevy, I think, as we see the scene where the window shield has been, like, sort of, like, broken apart. We do not see, Travis Burns in the seat at all, but we still hear the rumbling of the machine where the keys have been turned still on. And we see just various, like, knickknacks and what, like, sort of, like, I think, like, a school pride sort of type of pin. And, like, sort of, like, this weird little, like, plastic, like, ball with, like, little spiky pink, like, fluff. Like, you, like, throw it on a wall and it bounces back and whatnot. Like, it's a very cute, like, cheap plastic stuff on it. Like something like Travis's girlfriend would get him. So
nice. Mike and Hank, continue your scene however you'd like to continue it. I will remind you both that you do have the Shadows Grow Deep mark. So as yes. As that crown is mentioned, just as for everyone's attention. Hereafter, during a vulnerable move that you initiate or participate in, you must also narrate how something eerie and otherworldly subtly reveals itself in the scene. So just making sure that we're all aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, like, I'm not sure. Is it also marked for,
marked for both of you.
Ah, cool.
Yes.
I think as, like, Mike has having this conversation, he just sort of trails off as he's looking around, and every so often he meets the eyes of like one of like the effectively the chaperones here, of like, because they keep on looking at him as though they're listening in, as though they think can hear his own thoughts.
I think as we are talking, and as we're talking, Roderick is like trying to find something to do with his hands, and he's like, "Hey, man, I got all this first aid shit. Let me just like, can I like, I'm just gonna like wrap your ankle for you because I think you need some sort of support on it. I've seen you limp, and I saw you get hurt. I really like I think that you really need this." And so like but this is like old hat for him. Like he's done this a lot. And so as Mike looks around, like Roderick tries to see what he's looking at, like. Because, well, it's, if Mike is on edge, Roderick assumes that he should be too. Because, well, Mike knows what he's doing. He always knows what he's doing. He's more experienced. And as he looks around, he sees one of these, like, it's like a school pride banner that they have hung up behind the basketball goal. And it's got all of these, like, under it, it's like the years that they were, like, champions. Of the basketball, I'm revealing the fact that I don't know sports, you know, that they like made nationals in these a variety of sports, and it's got these pictures of these kids hung under it, like the teams, sports ball, yes, absolutely chaotic, and As Roderick looks over that way, kind of where Mike is looking, he doesn't actually see the teacher looking at Mike, but he looks past. And he's already seen these pictures, but the people in the pictures for just a second aren't kids. They aren't like kids in uniform. They're all white-robed figures for just a second. And then he blinks, and it's normal again.
Let's jump back to Sergeant Hank in the shed. Tell us more about how that scene's playing out.
I think I'm gonna end that scene.
And okay, sounds good.
Have Hank driving someplace. We don't know where. I'm not really. If we've got another scene, I'll figure out where he's driving to. He's just driving in his truck. And what I want to do is I want to throw in some mask. Some crowns.
Perfect spot for it. Yeah, love it.
So we see Hank driving, and he's got his cell phones in the seat next to him, and it's ringing, and he looks down. And he sees that it's from Wendy, and he didn't pick up the call, and instead he's thinking about when he was in college, and he used to like conservation law and forestry and all that was not his first career. We're seeing him in college with his then girlfriend who becomes wife. And they're in like the physical. They're like in the physical education program at a university. And we see that we can see that Hank was studying to be like a basketball coach, maybe a college basketball. He was like he's really into coaching. And then we see him not as a coach, but we see him and now Wendy's his wife, and there's some kids running around. And the kids are all wanting to go outside and work on something like a build a fort or something, and Hank is pushing them off. No. He's watching like a basketball game, a college basketball game on TV, and he does that instead of going out with his kids to build a fort in the backyard. And that took two got two crowns in that.
Love it, Dallas.
Yeah.
What's going on with you?
Dallas has just noted that this is all going on around them. Dallas is like, no, 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 no. And just yells out, Wilderness boys, halt! And it gets silent across the bar, except for like the two state troopers that are fighting with each other. You, and points at the sheriff's deputy that punched Dallas. Looks at Rusecki outside. Rusecki and a bunch of the Wilderness boys grab the sheriff's deputy and they walk outside out the front door of O'Sullivan's Bar and Grill into the gravel parking lot. Some of those Wilderness boys go to their jeeps and turn the headlights on as Rusecki throws the sheriff's deputy into the ground, and like almost like there's a circle of these jeeps just shining down on the sheriff's deputy. Everybody's looking kind of battered and bruised. Wilderness boys not so much. Dallas has a black eye that's forming on their eye. Dallas walks up to the sheriff's deputy, grabs the collar. Deputy, what's your name?
I think spits probably like a little bit of blood out, I would imagine. Sean.
Sean? It's a good name. Strong four letters. Starts with an S. What did you think you were doing when you punched me? You know exactly who I am.
Yeah, you're that. Yeah, I know who you are. You're that arrogant son of a bitch who's flaunting his money and thinking he has authority in our town.
Yeah, that's right. I am. Tell me, Sean.
Fuck.
Do you think you do good in your daily work as a deputy?
I,
You're fucking nuts.
I am, Sean. I'm nuts.
You're not a fucking cop.
Wilderness conservation. Sean, do you think you wearing that tiny little 10 star and pulling over people going 5 miles over the speed limit is doing a damn thing to help the world?
I think Sean's like just kind of like staring at you, kind of like speechless.
How much do they pay you at the sheriff's department annually, not month to month?
He gives a pathetically low number.
Do you have benefits?
Dental.
Oh, dental. Well, how about this, Sean? Starting annual salary, $80,000 a year. If you stick in with the first 3 months, then it bumps up to $120,000 annually. Doctor, dental, eyes, pet insurance, 401k, stock options. How does that sound, Sean?
Wait, I'm confused. Are you offering me a job after...
You had the cojones to lay a hand on Dallas Bartmoss, and that takes a lot of stones, Sean. And the wilderness boys need stones. And we just lost a Sean. He's on vacation right now and his wife's pregnant. And he's going to be out because we not only give maternity leave, but we provide paternity leave as well. So what do you say? You have it in you to be a wilderness boy? Sean?
Fuck it, yeah.
Gonna grab his head and kiss his forehead and then push him back so he falls onto the gravel. I'm gonna look at Riseki and say, get him an application pamphlet and some uniforms. We'll put him up in the barracks until he's ready. Shots on me, boys! And then walks to the bar.
Let's get that last prompt on the unsolved and do a little bit of wrap-up before we move into Stars and Wishes.
Holy shit. Okay. The last one is, as they pulled the blue truck out of the stream, the tow truck operator thought he saw something strange in the water, but passed it off for not having enough sleep. What did he see? And I think that... by the time they pull the truck out of the stream, it's just now running out of gas. But the engine, the battery's still on, and we still hear music playing. And it's very faint. But as they're dragging this truck out of the stream, they see something strange and worm-like grab the tires. And it almost, like, resists being pulled. And the tow truck driver thinks it's just, like, it's mud. It's clearly mud. It's nothing. But then more strange worm-like tendrils grab the hood and try to yank it down. And it actually takes the front part of the car with it a little bit. Like, now it's dangling off. And they just sort of pass it off as, well, he hit the fence. So clearly it was nothing.
Let's have some wrap-up, everyone, going in character keeper order. Tell us how this out-of-the-woods phase ends with your character.
I think that Roderick and Mike probably get to talk to some kids a little more later. I feel like there's the morning class, the afternoon class. They do the same rigmarole. Even though Mike seems a little on edge, Roderick kind of tries to keep him, you know, like, occupied enough, like, trying to talk to him, trying to, like, you know, he's had a long, long day, a long week, a long life, and it's kind of nice to get to talk to one of his coworkers outside of work. It feels like maybe some modicum of human connection, and it's kind of nice that the kids all seem excited about what they're showing them. And despite everything, despite how badly a lot of this has gone, Roderick kind of leaves the whole thing feeling a little hopeful. It's It's nice. It's a nice day, despite everything.
I will note that the vulnerable move does have an additional option
Yes, it
because
does.
it is my vice. I will invite Roderick to ask me a question.
Delightful. Is there a list of questions?
No, it's just any question about him.
Yeah.
That he has to answer truthfully.
All right.
About his past. Yeah, that's
okay. How'd you get involved in the Forest Service? You've been doing this for a while. How'd you get here?
Oh. Yeah, it's a bit of a long story. Well, truthfully, probably not an actual long story.
I'm here for it, even if it is. I'm nosy as hell.
Yeah. Yeah. Had a few bad breakups. Just need to, like, get away. Really didn't have much of any family to speak of. Bad breakups led to, like, sort of wrecking of a few different friendships, so just needed a new start. But, yeah. Honestly, I think, like, the woods is really one of the few places I actually belong in, yeah? Like, yeah. I like animals. I like helping people. I'm a bit hardier than most people give me credit for, but I think, like, if I wasn't here on the team, like, I think, like, things would be a lot worse because, well, fuck. Sergeant Hank is retiring, and we just leave you with Dallas.
Oh, no, I'm gonna be real with you. If you aren't here, I'd be fucked. I mean, no, you're real impressive, Mike. It's I'm glad you're here, even if it sounds like it wasn't a great sort of journey here. I'm glad you're here. Don't retire on me too soon. Don't follow Hank. I know he's talking to everyone about fucking Pensacola, but
yeah, I know what Ernie has been saying about me, and no, I'm not going to be fucking retiring. Like, I don't care. My eyes just look like this.
Listen, I just had to get that out there. I don't ever know if Ernie's telling the goddamn truth. He was telling me about some gorilla the other day. So, listen, I just had to get that out there because please don't. I cannot do this by myself. I don't even know what. I don't even know how to, like, tell snakes apart yet. I'm still working on that. I need your ass over here.
Good.
I think we see Hank driving back into Plymouth. He's not listening to any music. He seems to still be deep in thought, thinking about the past. There's not a fence anymore, but now there's a pretty sturdy guardrail where there used to be a fence. And as Hank goes past the spring brook, we see something black and almost tentacle like coil up and pull itself back into the creek as Hank's truck just keeps going.
Dallas Bartmoss sashays back into O'Sullivan's, looking at, like, broken beer bottles and just, like, broken tables and chairs and everything. The Wilderness Boys start coming in. The two state troopers are, like, setting back the table up and everything where they were. Dallas sits down at the bar, looks at the bartender. You have PayPal, Venmo, Zelle, anything like that?
Yeah, I got Zelle.
How much do you think this is going to cost to fix all of this?
Looks around. Looks at you in the eye and says, We all know you're good for it, Mr. Bart Moss. Just, I'll invoice you.
Invoice, and then be sure to throw a little bit extra in there for your parking lot. The gravel out there, it's rough on tires. Might want to get an asphalt one here soon. I know a guy that does eco asphalt that is repurposed. It's very clean for the environment. Won't make everything smell bad. Can I get a shot, please?
Coming right up, sir.
Thank you. And then just opens the phone and looks at the video of when Dallas was looking at Mike and kind of shaking him and being like, what did you see? How did it feel? And it just pauses on that look in Mike's face when he's saying, they're going to try to bring me back, and goes, interesting. Very interesting.
And we zoom out, pan back from O'Sullivan's, and cut to black, roll credits on Bob Marley's Buffalo Soldier. Very good. Let's do end of session, then go into the stars and wishes. So let's answer those questions. Everyone gets a point of experience because you all resolved a rescue. Let's start with Roderick here. Did you talk about one of your many certifications?
No.
Okay.
I did.
You share your career goals?
I don't think I did. No, I don't think I did.
Okay. And did you experience an echo in time?
I tried to do one.
To explain?
With the school banner, I tried to like echo the little school keychain.
I will take that.
Okay.
I will take that. That Sick. Is it. That accounts.
Right.
That, there you go. That's an, there you go. You
I figured out echoes in time.
Good job. Mike, did you primarily talk in single word phrases?
I would say at the start of like dealing with the crew.
I'll give you the majority. That was the majority of the session anyway. I'll give it to you. Mm-hmm. Did you reluctantly describe something odd you've seen?
I let Dallas Bart Moss explain the not deer during that scene. So, like, I would say so.
Yeah. And did you experience an echo in time?
I would say not.
Okay. That's all. There you go. So you got three. So yeah, I think, you advance as well?
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. Yeah, I'm Fuck picking yeah. up an additional.
And Roderick is advanced as well. Hell yeah, Roddy. Hank, did you admit that you're in over your head? Did you remind the,
yes.
Yep, I saw it. Yep. Did you remind the others that the good old days were better?
I don't know if Ernie counts as the others. Probably not. I don't know. I've said things were a lot better with when Henderson was in charge.
I'll also give it to you. I like that. And did you experience an echo in time?
I tried a couple.
I think I got them.
Well, Buffalo Soldiers was a playback to the
Buffalo comments and all that.
For the Wilderness Boys. And those were the Buffalo Soldiers. Then the scene at the end with the tentacle from
that too.
From,
yeah.
Yeah.
I caught those. Yeah, they're nice. You take four, and it also advanced. Jeez. And Dallas, did you share your wit or wisdom with the first responders?
I did not. Not this session.
Did you flaunt your wealth?
Multiple times with the Wilderness Boys, and then also hiring Sean, and then also offering to pay for the damages to O'Sullivan.
I caught multiple echoes in time from you.
Mm-hmm.
Which one do you want on the record here?
Buffalo Soldiers playing
is honestly iconic. Love that. So you get three. Hell yeah. Did everyone advance? Oh my god, everyone advanced. If you know what advances you want to take, go ahead and take them now and let us know what you're thinking. But if you need some time to decide, you could. That's fine.
I'm unlocking two more boxes for State of the Art Everything.
Hell yeah.
Because I just love that move, and I want them. I want them now.
Hell yeah. You get two more.
I laid the groundwork to unlock my ex as an additional.
Yes, you did. you can tell us more about your ex next time when it comes into play. Fantastic. B and Chaotic, you two, I think, in anything specifically yet?
I'm because of how Dallas Bart Moss handled things this session, I think this certified me on picking up Armed and Dangerous.
Yeah, tell us about that move.
You are authorized to have access to larger firearms than just your service revolver. Choose one of the following. And I picked a high-powered hunting rifle with a scope.
Oh,
and
shit.
It's never marked as an advantage when firing at far targets. Sick.
Yeah, so I think with like how I'm
wow.
built, I'm just rock solid, so like I can wrestle those Spartan Moths if need be, but if
you know
like,
what we
I'm...
should give the soldier with the ranger with the faraway look and on the on edge, let's just give him a gun. Let's give him a bigger gun. It's yeah.
A really good gun.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see Dallas Barton Moss going on a run.
Oh, that's Mike's new stress reliever, is watching Dallas through the scope.
This campaign could get really dark, and my stress reliever becomes hunting the most dangerous game. Sorry, continue.
I think falling off the cliff almost, like... I'm picking ropes and D-rings, which is being certified as a rock and climbing guide, because I realized my skills were lacking. And so instead of doing normal people things on the weekend, that's what I went and did.
Love that. Amazing. Awesome. Well, let's do stars and wishes. Whoever wants to go first, take it away.
Stars okay. to yes. all yes. of you. Alex, wonderful NPC playing. Riseki was great. Martin was great. Ernie's great. I love Ernie so much. The voice is perfect for Ernie. B and Chaotic, y'all's vulnerable move scene was great. Just love y'all being at a career fair for the kids. And one of you knowing everything about wilderness survival, and the other one's like, I'm really good at making splints. If you ask me gauze related questions, I've got you. It was cute, which is a good cute. Also Chaotic playing Mike in this session, just you just being like, I'm fed up with everything. I'm grabbing this not deer and I am manipulating nature to meet my means now. It was great and fantastic. And then Daniel, are you Hank in another life? You just embody that spirit so well of like, this is interesting, but I don't care. So I'm going to like see like driving past the tentacle and everything and just like the conversations with Ernie and then just immediately being like, it was a buffalo and everything like that. And just kind of leaning into, it's great. I can't wait to see the trajectory for Hank and everything. Also Star for taking the move, your ex, cause I can't wait to see you and Alex role play scenes between Hank and Wendy. This is going to be fantastic. And just stars for this game. Fucking fantastic. Wishes. I just hope that we can really save White Mountain and just make it a place for everybody.
Oh my God. Stars for Wes, this whole session, I mean, your glittery background, fab, the fucking Wilderness Boys delights me. Absolutely. That was such a power move. And Dallas, you're really good at like doing this thing where they seem menacing and then they're actually doing something nice or vice versa. Like the duality of this character just delights me. Delicious. Chaotic, that thing you said with Mike at the doors intrigues me. Fascinating. What is your backstory? I'm so in. I'm so here. What is going on? It you absolutely sprinkle in this stuff where I want to know more, like about this very cagey, delightful man. Daniel, I love Hank. The way you set up all of his different moves so naturally in play is just masterful. I'm going to echo what Wes said. I can't wait to see the X move. Like, I've been hoping you'd do that this entire time, ever since I saw that on the playbook. Oh my God.
Oh, delightful. And Alex, I love your NPCs. The chant, though, was so good. I wasn't even expecting you to, like, put in what sounds like Latin, but probably isn't. That absolutely delicious, beautiful scene painting. Just, I love this game. You're all fabulous. My only wish is I'm just excited to see more of the mountain stuff because I am absolutely a hoe for how spooky this is. It's so freaky.
Yeah, like I know, like a few times off recording, like it's just like, oh my god, what the fuck is Dallas Bartmoss? I was so sure, like Wes and Alex like planned that out. No, it just came up. It was just amazing. I love it. Like it has this intense cagey past. Like no, he's just kind of sad. Like he had it's like the forest. As much as it haunts him, it makes him happy. And like I'm looking forward to like getting through like some of his flashback, like his crowns and whatnot, because like I like genuinely like this is like his dream job, and I just love like how Ernie was like, oh no, Mike is ready to retire, and I'm like, no, he's not. Absolutely, he will die doing this job. Like that's And I love the parallels between Hank and Mike of like Hank has issues with his ex, Mike has issues with his exes. Just like that's like it's just like, is Mike just gonna become Hank one day? Maybe. Also like the sort of comments on like how the benefactor is kind of like the explorer. Like I see, like, some, like, echoes of playbooks. Like, I see, like, the, technically speaking, this is probably a weird one, but the ranger as the factotum. Like, as sort of, like, a very support-heavy role, having, like, a lot of equipment ready at hand and ready to go in at the action, but not wanting to be the direct attention of it all. So, like, it's a very interesting take on sort of that idea. So, like, I'm very excited to, like, see, I want a confrontation between Mike and Dallas, because we need to talk about that. What the fuck? You brought in assault weapons? My god.
The night is dark and full of terrors. Dallas watched every single episode of Game of Thrones and took that to heart.
God, I may have to, like, file a report with embargo. Like, that... We need
Please do. We that need is your right as an employee of the U.S. Forest Services. Please do. See how bureaucracy works for you, my casters.
Like, does embargo know about the forest? These guys? God, so many questions.
I'm in over my head. I got so many stars at the top here with Dallas, Echo Asphalt, Eco Asphalt. Strange readings are coming in from your area. Good, you know, just some of that pure gold for Dallas, and that's a go for Mountain Boys. Everybody's already said Mountain Boys. Okay, for Chaotic, I love. When you lean forward to when Mike leaned forward to Roddy and said, "You didn't hear this from me," like that. we're getting some gossip from Mike. The creature that was drooling on you in the flashback was really creepy. And my all time favorite was when Alex was describing the dead moose. The look on your face. Reroll the tape and look at your expression when he's describing the dead moose. For B, I can so see Roddy as a young pool lifeguard, you know, like 17, 18 years old, is his job working at the pool. Your quote, my takeaway quote from you was, go around the fucking moose. I like that one. That was a good one. And then for Alex, he wills the world to war. And just a big star for just having to deal with the wilderness boys, right? Because it's like a total game changer for a keeper to have those guys dropped on you. And just the whole wrapping up the fallen photographer, the big star Alex for that. That was a fun wrap up. My wish, gosh, I don't know which rescue's next. Any of them would be, you know, yeah. We're at the point now where any of them's just going to be super weird at this point.
Yeah. Obviously, we've already echoed a lot about the Wilderness Boys, but I fucking was stoked that they came out today. I was not planning for that. I did the little like the ear thing because I was just like, oh, it's a fun little detail just to throw in. But like when you actually incorporated them, I was over the moon. That and everything I wanted and more. I love that. I starred Rusecki being Stephen Lang because I'm a big Stephen Lang fan, and I love the fact that it's now just Stephen Lang in our cast of this show. That was fantastic. I really enjoyed getting to see the Shed and Hank and Ernie, but also especially just the Hank just being like, no, that's not weird. Here's something weird. Like, let me tell you about, you know, just Hank has an eccentricism to him that only really comes out when he's not off the job, but kind of off the immediate like concern of a priority. He's just like, I'm just gonna be this eccentric old guy, which I don't know. I just like that. It's fun. Chaotic. I get big, Mike was a weird kid kind of vibes. Like when he was young, he was maybe a little bit more awkward and like, in like one of those like loner, you know, one of those kids who was like, if you try to like strike up a friendship with, he'd be like, yeah. So did you know? And gives you like some weird fact that you just go, cool, 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 cool. Okay, I'm going to be over here now. I don't know why, but that's just the vibe. Especially when he like leaned into being like, now you didn't hear it from me, was very much just giving me vibes of like, oh, Mike's just kind of awkward and sad, but like he's not creepy. He's just a little awkward and a little sad, and he has a lot of depth to him because he really loves his job, but it's also the source of his greatest terrors. Going into a wish with that, it's that it's like it really makes me excited to see how things are going to plan out from his perspective with facing off things that he might view as like threats to his happiness and all that, and things he loves about the woods. So that's very exciting. I couldn't skip the opportunity to have them do their scene at the elementary school kindergarten meeting because that was just too good, and I really loved how you guys played in debt with the demonstrations. That was a lot of fun. I just loved so much. And the Out of Wood scenes, like with Dallas especially, fucked up, and I loved it. And I think that was a good juxtaposition to everything else, but also just like while still maintaining the inherent absurdity of Dallas, like of the comedy that we get to lean into, but it's also quite menacing and very sinister. So that was great. Wishes. Oh God, I can't wait to see these new moves in action. I'm really looking forward to unlocking not just the next layer of the campaign, but I'm excited to see how the phenomena's continue to pop up now that we're getting into our third rescue. I want to see where it goes. We're setting some tones, and it's like it can't always just be an escalation. And I feel like we have a really good kind of like lows and highs, like balancing the kind of tone and vibe that's going on here. So it's going to be exciting. Any other stars or wishes? No.
God, I can't believe you just called me out like that as being the weird kid. I'm like, God.
I get big weird kid vibes from Mike. I mean, it's true.
This is just all my characters. All my characters grew up the weird kid. That.
I love it. Before we go, we see a porcelain sink as water is hitting it in a stream going down the drain. A Gillette razor kind of splashes in the water, and we see Paul Foster in his apartment in Albany, New York, looking in the mirror, just shaving, running the razor over his skin. It's been a few weeks since his affair, so it's he's recovered a little bit, but there's still that kind of haggardness in his eyes. But as he's shaving, just kind of looking in the mirror, we see the reflection begins to distort slightly. Suddenly, the background begins to turn a sickly light green, streaked with dark green veins, patinaed with a verdigris rust growing in that very Silent Hill kind of way, as Paul stares wide-eyed in horror. He drops the razor with a shaking hand and spins around. And the bathroom is completely normal. He looks back in the reflection and just sees his own face. The normal appearance in the reflection behind him. He shuts off the faucet and just stares into the mirror. I will see you all next time.